Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever seen a volcano? They can look powerful and even frightening. I have only seen inactive volcanoes, or volcanoes that are not actively erupting or spewing out hot lava. Once on a trip to the state of Oregon, my family and I had the opportunity to explore old lava beds. This is where lava once poured out, spread across the land, and hardened into rock. As we explored the trails through the black lava rock, it felt like we were on another planet. Volcanoes and lava are fascinating, and those are what we are exploring today. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to discover what is lava made of, and how are igneous rocks made? How does a volcano erupt? And how do volcanoes point us to God's power? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including Apologia Curriculum. If your kids are naturally curious about the world around them, Apologia is the perfect place to fuel that wonder. And now is the best time to order during their summer sale. Save 25% on all of Apologia's curriculum. Apologia dives into each topic with rich visuals, hands-on activities, and a Christ-centered approach that sparks real understanding. My kids especially love the student journals with tools that help them think deeply, make connections, and remember what they have learned long after the lesson is over. Save 25% on all curriculum and self-paced courses through August 31st at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. Math is very useful for exploring God's wild and wonderful world. Whether you're counting ants in the backyard, tracking the phases of the moon, or discovering patterns in nature. With CTC Math, math adventures are easy and fun, with quick lessons that leave you plenty of time to explore and play outside. Parents, you will love how CTC Math supports every learner and keeps progress on track. It helped my family gain a vision for math and progress at our kids' individual paces without frustration. Start your free trial at ctcmath.com and see what discoveries math can help you make in nature. It's time for our trivia question. What is the name of the bowl-shaped opening at the top of a volcano? A. Chamber, B. Crater, C. Vent, or D. Dome? Again, what is the name of the bowl-shaped opening at the top of a volcano? A. Chamber, B. Crater, C. Vent, or D. Dome? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this lesson to click over to the bonus video to discover underwater volcanoes in the ocean. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Listeners, if you would like to explore deeper with our weekly bonus videos, lesson activity guides, nature devotions, and nature and Bible scavenger hunts, you can access all of that in the Nat Theo Club. Learn more and join at the link in our show notes. Today's lesson is inspired by a great question from one of our listeners.
Hi, my name is Judah, and
I'm going to be 5 years old on Wednesday. I would love to know what is lava?
That is a great question, Judah. What is lava? Lava is a natural material that has come out of a volcano and can cool down and harden into rock. It's a bit easier to understand what lava is when we understand something similar called magma. Magma is hot, melted rock that is deep underground. Sometimes magma, that hot, melted rock, comes up onto the ground, which we will learn about in a few minutes. When magma comes up onto the ground, it is no longer called magma. Now it is called lava. Lava can be a hot liquid, or it can cool down and harden into a solid rock. Think of it kind of like water and ice. Now, it's not exactly the same, but water and ice can help us understand magma and lava. Magma is liquid, kind of like water. They can both flow around. But just as water can cool down and harden into ice, magma can come onto the surface and become lava, which can cool down and harden into solid rock. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered how new rocks are made? When we think about animals, we understand that many of them lay eggs that hatch into new babies, or many animals have live births and give birth to young. But rocks are very different because rocks are not alive. They cannot reproduce or make baby rocks. New rocks can be made in a few different ways, and one way is by lava from a volcano cooling down and hardening into a new rock. This type of rock is called an igneous rock. Igneous rocks are rocks that are made by lava cooling down and hardening into a rock. So they are hard lava. It's pretty cool to hold an igneous rock because you are holding a material that God made that used to be deep down beneath the Earth's surface. It's kind of like a little peek into the underground world that God created. So lava is magma, which has come out of a volcano and can harden into igneous rocks. But what exactly is inside lava? What is lava made from? Lava is made from things called elements. An element is a basic building block that everything in nature is made from, kind of like little Lego bricks, but for nature. Each element is a special kind of atom, and there are over 100 different elements, such as oxygen, which is in the air we breathe, gold, the shiny stuff you might see in jewelry, and iron, which is used to make strong things like bicycles. When different elements mix together, they can create everything in nature, including rocks, trees, water, and even animals and our bodies. So lava has a special mixture of these elements, kind of like the ingredients of rocks. But what happens as these basic elements cool and harden into a rock? Do you remember what lava is called when it is still deep down beneath the Earth's surface? It is called magma. When magma gets closer to the Earth's surface, and as it erupts and becomes lava, the elements inside of it begin to harden into tiny crystals. Those crystals can either form very quickly or slowly. And that is one thing that determines what kind of igneous rock is going to be made. You see, not all igneous rocks that come from lava are the same. There are different types of igneous rocks that fall into two main categories, intrusive and extrusive. Now, those are big words, but we can remember them in this way. What does the word intrusive begin with? In. Intrusive igneous rock is rock that forms while it is still inside the earth or underground, when magma cools slowly. Because it cools slowly, it grows big crystals that you can often see. Let's look at the second type of igneous rock, extrusive. What does the word extrusive begin with? Ex, which sounds like exit. Extrusive igneous rock is rock that forms after it has exited a volcano or come out of the earth or underground when lava cools down quickly. Because it cools fast, it has little or no crystals, so the rock might feel very smooth or glassy. Smooth black obsidian rock is an example of extrusive igneous rock. It was lava that cooled so quickly outside a volcano that it has no crystal structure. Obsidian is also an example of something called volcanic glass. Volcanic glass are special kinds of extrusive igneous rock that form when lava cools very fast, so fast that it doesn't have time to grow many or any crystals at all. That's why it looks so shiny and smooth, kind of like glass. So God designed many different types of rock to be formed by lava. And they're not just pretty, they are also very useful to humans. Igneous rocks from lava are used for many purposes, including making concrete and roads, building materials for homes and other buildings, filtration to clean water and air, making jewelry, cleaning and skincare products, and gardening and landscaping. For these helpful rocks to be made, lava has to come out of a volcano. But why exactly does lava come out of a volcano? How does a volcano erupt? Earlier this year, my husband and I had the opportunity to travel to Alaska. This was my first time visiting Alaska, and I was so excited. But something in the news also had me a little bit concerned. We were going to be flying into a city called Anchorage, and close by that city, there is a volcano that scientists were saying could erupt very soon, even that week. Now, I wasn't very concerned for our safety because the volcano is a safe distance away from the city. And honestly, I thought it would be really cool to see an active volcano. However, I was concerned that it might mess up our travel plans. If it erupted before we left, would we still be able to fly into Alaska with a cloud of ash? Thankfully, the volcano did not erupt or mess up our travel plans. And it turns out volcanoes are quite unpredictable. At the time that I am recording this lesson, it is over 3 months after our trip to Alaska, and the volcano has still not erupted. But what exactly is a volcanic eruption? A volcanic eruption is when a volcano explodes or spills out hot lava, ash, and gases from deep underground. It happens because of a whole lot of pressure underground. Pressure is when something is pushing really hard on something else. If you have ever swam down deep into the water, you might have felt the pressure pressing on your body. Here's a quick look at what happens when a volcano erupts. First, the magma, which is melted rock that is far below the Earth's surface, begins to bubble up and rise. This melted rock is lighter than the solid rock surrounding it, which causes the magma to rise up. Kind of like if you have ever seen bubbles inside of a glass of soda or sparkling water rise up to the surface. All of this bubbling and rising magma causes even more pressure inside the volcano. The pressure gets so strong that it can crack the solid rocks above. This is when magma comes out of the volcano and becomes lava up on the surface. But what does this look like when magma comes out of underground? Magma can come out of a volcano in two main ways, effusive eruption and explosive eruption. An effusive eruption is a bit gentler. It's when hot lava spills over and flows out of a volcano, kind of like thick syrup pouring from a syrup bottle and flowing over a pile of pancakes. The type of lava that comes from an effusive eruption is often thinner or runnier, and it can flow quite a ways away, even forming rivers of hot lava flowing away from the volcano. This is the type of eruption, an effusive eruption, that often happens in Hawaii's volcanoes. The second type of eruption is an explosive eruption. An explosive eruption is how it sounds. It's more dramatic and violent, with hot lava, rock fragments, and ash quickly exploding out of a volcano. Volcanoes are considered a type of mountain, and we often think about mountains as very steady and stable. Where I live in Colorado, we have many beautiful mountains. I enjoy seeing them every day and hiking through them often. They are huge, and they are always there. They always have the same shape, and that is how we learn some of their names. But in the Bible, we read about even mountains being changed. Listen to Nahum 1:5. What does it sound like this verse is describing? The mountains shake in front of him, and the hills melt. Now, this verse doesn't mention volcanoes and lava, but the description of shaking mountains and melting hills sure sounds like it. And listen to Psalm 97:5. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The Bible does not specifically mention a lot about volcanoes and lava, but it has a lot of descriptions like these, of shaking and melting mountains. It's also very likely that there was a whole lot of volcanic activity during the Great Flood, when waters covered the earth. It's likely that volcanoes were a big part of that flood. You see, when water covered the earth, the water wasn't only from rain coming down from clouds. That would have been a whole lot of rainfall. And surely there was a lot of rainfall, but God also used the surface of the earth. Genesis 7:11 describes the beginning of the flood like this. On that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. Other Bible translations say that the great deep was broken up. Many Bible scholars believe that when the great deep burst open or was broken up, that included underground springs of water along with volcanic activity and eruptions. This intense volcanic activity likely went on for around 5 months. In Genesis 8, verses 2 to 3, we read about what happened 5 months after the flood began. Listen closely. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. You see, we really can't picture the Great Flood as only a bunch of rainfall. God likely used many forces, including volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and tsunamis. God used powerful forces to reshape the planet's surface. Psalm 104, verses 6 to 8, is likely a description of those historical events. If you're in a safe place to do so, perhaps close your eyes as you listen to this description and picture what is happening in the verses. You clothed the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains. At your command, the water fled. At the sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Volcanoes and lava remind us of God's great power. These are powerful tools that he used during the flood and a reminder of his sovereignty over creation and our lives. But what does that word sovereignty mean? Sovereignty means supreme power and authority. It means that God gets the final say. There is no one and nothing above him or more powerful than him. Even the mountains and volcanoes bow down to him. Remember, we read in Psalm 97:5, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord. He created them and he has power over them. The Great Flood is an excellent example of that. And you know, listener, all of this power also points to God's unshakable love for us. You see, during and after the flood, even things as big and durable as mountains shook and changed. One day, this earth as we know it will be done away with. But what never changes is God's love for us. His love is stronger than any mountain, and it cannot be shaken. Listen to Isaiah 54:10. The mountains may disappear, and the hills may come to an end, but my love will never disappear. My promise of peace will not come to an end, says the Lord who shows mercy to you. It's time now to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hello, my name is Sailor. I'm 6 years old. I live in Savannah, Georgia. My question is, why do tigers have stripes?
That is a great question, Sailor. Why do tigers have stripes? Tigers are meat-eating animals called predators. This means that they need to sneak up on their prey or animals to catch their food. To do this, they use something called camouflage, which means that they blend in with their surroundings. Now we might think, how does a bright orange tiger blend in? That is a bright color in the animal world. But a tiger's prey, or the animals that it hunts and eats, cannot see the bright orange color. Their prey sees colors differently than we do, and the orange tiger actually looks green or brown to them, and the black stripes often look like shadows. When prey are not alarmed by the large animal, because it really just looks like part of the landscape, they are more relaxed, and they focus on grazing and eating grass. It isn't until the tiger begins to move that the prey will notice the predator and plan its escape. So a tiger's coloring and stripes help it sneak up on prey that it needs to eat in order to live. Thanks for your great question, Sailor. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure after this lesson to click over to the bonus video and learn about underwater volcanoes in the ocean. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. It's time now to answer our trivia question. What is the name of the bowl-shaped opening at the top of a volcano? A, chamber, B, crater, C, vent, or D, dome? The answer is B, crater. My family once visited a national park called Crater Lake in the state of Oregon, and it has a big lake inside of a volcano crater. Now it's your turn to explore. With help, do some research to find if there is an area near you that has volcanic rocks. Plan a trip to visit and find igneous rocks, or visit a rock shop to see some. Imagine how deep down in the earth those rocks once were, and what they would be like as hot liquid beneath a volcano. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode on lava and volcanoes, please take a moment to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.